everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. And for starters, I do have a little bit of an apology for you all. You may have noticed there was some distinct radio silence last week. Nothing showed up last week. And that is my fault on that. What had happened was we recorded our session of Deeper. It was a great session, I'm going to be honest. I'm really trying to see if I can find a copy of the audio still to release. I haven't yet done that. But it was a fun episode, a lot of good questions. And then I went and I recorded another video immediately following that. And I am now going to be much better about making sure that I don't save over the old videos. So our apologies on that. I will be much better about making sure that doesn't happen in the future. I will see about trying to find, again, I do think there is somewhere I might be able to find that audio only.
If it never appears, know that that was probably my finest work.
So. It was mine too, for sure. Mine too, yeah. We peaked there, honestly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But we are going to try and pull it back and actually have this show up, and so this will be showing up. Mm-hmm. But Dan, I guess we might as well start off with this week. What did we talk about on Sunday?
So up to the end of James chapter 4 now this past week, and just the last few verses, not a ton of verses there this time, but some good stuff. Really, as we think about this week and then what's coming up next week, there are kind of these two, some call them oracles that James gives. They're kind of rhetorical sections where James is trying to bring up a point and about certain topics. So, and wealth's a bit involved in both, but this week we really saw speaking into the way we plan. And that could be planning how we're going to make money. But in general, how do we plan and how do we look at the future and what's our role in that and how do we not or are we bringing God into those plans? And so we really talked together about are we being God-centered in our plans? Are we thinking about He and His kingdom as part of that? Are we just thinking about what we can get? Is there certain areas of our life where maybe we're good at planning with the Lord and others we're kind of leaving Him out because we don't want to maybe think about that? And we said maybe with monetary things, that can be maybe the area where we're most prone to this. We kind of highlighted just what's the character of maybe a worldly-centered way of planning versus a godly-centered way of planning. And so I think there's enough to think about there. And I know I had a conversation with several people afterwards who were in the midst of some plans and big things in their life, going through some changes. It's a very relevant topic again, and we need to think about how do we go about our plans. And James is, as we said, causing us to pause and think about it.
Yeah, well, and I think one thing I've noticed, especially in this West Michigan Dutch Reform culture, we are very good about, we want to have our plans, and this is when things start, and this is when things end. Mm-hmm. And it's a very important element of how we live our lives. So I think this was a really timely episode.
We love our order.
We love our order. So. It makes, it's one of the interesting things that comes from, again, growing up overseas. We had what we would call African time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is things happen when they happen. And, a sermon could last for 3 hours if that's what the Spirit leads.
Right.
And that's just a very different cultural thing than here.
Yeah. The Spirit's not allowed to lead into lunch in our context.
The Spirit has a lunch meeting that he needs to get to. But it is one of those things that, planning is something that is entrenched in everything we do here. So I was really appreciative of this sermon. First, before I go into my questions, was there anything that you really wanted to connect to in the text this week that you didn't spend as much time on, or any, other conclusions you could have pulled?
I tried to mention a few things up front, kind of general things about the text to try and do that. But obviously, if you read the text, James is addressing this kind of merchant class, business people. And we could have gone into more of what was this merchant class? And, there's the next week we'll be kind of hitting on maybe landowners and these particularly ways that people garnered wealth. And the merchants in particular, there had to be a lot of planning because you're traveling often by boat. But even if by road, you got to play the winds and you got to, where are we going? And when are we going to get there? And then planning who you're going to meet and what, you're going to sell. And there's some more there as far as the historical context. And there's a lot of, again, for the context of speaking into these Christians and largely Jewish Christians, which at that time, pretty early on in the church, mostly would have been probably poor or poorer. Mm-hmm. So there's a word of encouragement. We noted that too, of just because somebody you look around and has a lot more earthly resources than you. And this will be much more clear as we start chapter 5. But that's not the measure of your relationship with the Lord. In fact, it can be quite a danger, as we've seen elsewhere in Scripture too. Yeah. So those are some kind of just bigger context things that I just briefly touched on a little bit. As we said, it's only five verses there, so not a ton of things, but connected with that wisdom literature. And again, James almost giving like a little proverb here, and he starts it off with kind of that word of come, let's listen. And it's a prophetic kind of word that you see sometimes in the prophets, like, pay attention. This is,
this is, it's kind of like giving a little underline to it.
And sets the tone a little bit. It's chapter 5 will be even more confrontational. He sounds like a prophet condemning. But
which
this
is a wild thing for you to say, because this has already been like, not necessarily a confrontational, but at least highly convicting.
Yeah.
He doesn't hold back his punches.
No. You'll see when we get to chapter 5, the first chunk, it's like, whoa. And then we'll talk about that when we get there. But
I love it. I'm looking forward to it. So one of the things that you highlighted was that when we're going about the process of making plans, we kind of separated out into this is what it looks like if we're making plans in a worldly fashion,
right?
Fractured fashion, to use the word that we've been using throughout this series, and then to do it in a whole fashion, in a God-centered, Christ-centered way. And one of the things you said was that if we are making fractured or worldly plans, one of the ways that tends to come across is we might have an arrogant attitude. It's like, I got this, we can do, I was wondering, what is the difference then between arrogance and confidence? Because by and large, we seem to think of confidence as a good thing with a lot of similar traits to arrogance. So what's the difference? And in the context of these verses, is there really a difference?
So when you talk about boasting, which is kind of connected in this case with the arrogance or confidence scripturally, and especially we see it in the New Testament in Paul's writings, there's always this where confidence is appropriate is when it's based in the Lord, whether that's spiritually or then even just coming through to ourselves, that confidence in the Lord's work and who he is and who he's then made us to be. The word arrogance in and of itself really points to this pride factor, kind of putting myself over others, we might say from a Christian standpoint, over God first, but then even out to the people around me, I'm kind of making my plans. If you're in the way, well, I'll just run you over, kind of thing. And that's, again, we get to chapter 5, even more apparent. So that confidence, like you said, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And Paul says, if we're going to boast, if we're going to have confidence, have that in the Lord. But I think then for ourselves, we can have confidence and have proper confidence as that relates also to the Lord. So I can be confident in who he's made me to be, in seeing to live into his character and use the gifts he's given me to bless others and to build up his church and, of course, to glorify him. We can be confident in that, right, as we're living that life of faith and seeking to serve him. So there is a good aspect to that, and it all goes back to the Lord, but even not just, well, I'm confident in him, but I got no confidence in myself. No, we can have a measure of confidence in who we are, not trusting ourselves, so to speak, but because, hey, we're trying to live like the Lord. He's got confidence. He created us, and he can be working in us through his Spirit. And so as we're living into that character, seeking to glorify him, we always want to check that and need to. But as we do so and see, we're doing things in God's way and for his purposes, we can have confidence in that. So really just avoiding that, you could hear it in the text, kind of this, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to make money. And James says, this is arrogant boasting. You aren't considering God. It's just about you and what's good for you. You're not considering your neighbor. And so it's antithetical to the main commands we have, love God, love neighbor.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, then we're looking at the whole plans, the healthy planning, and you mentioned that healthy plans tend to have more of a humble attitude. So then I would like to take the other side of this. What is the difference then between humility and having a good sense of I don't got this, God's got this, and self-depreciation?
Yeah, a good question too, because just like the arrogance confidence thing could be a fine line, so could this, right? It can get to an unhealthy place, I think is what Austin's bringing out here, where we have a very low view of ourselves, and not in a healthy way, just a, kind of a I don't have worth. I don't have value. And, of course, that's not good because God communicates the value to us very clearly in the salvation he brings to us in Jesus Christ. So I think that's the danger, is we need to understand our place before the Lord, and even in our relationship with other people, that we're not just the only people that matter. I'm the only one that matters. People around me do. That's a humble attitude, right? He's God. I'm a creature. There's other people around me who are all made in his image as well, and understanding that where I fit in this scheme. But then not going to the point where I have no value, whatever I do has no use. Just that very kind of almost fatalistic, or that could lead me to apathy. That could lead me to all kinds of things we don't want to be in, because I'm not seeing me as having any value, any worth, even in the life of the church, right? So that's, or in this case, even from a planning standpoint, can almost lead to that depressed where, oh, what does it matter? We'll just see what happens tomorrow. I'm not going to take any action here to find the new work or to forge ahead in this relationship. That's kind of the downer view of a lack of planning. It's not necessarily, let's see where the Spirit leads. It's kind of a depressed version of that. Like you said, a self, deprecating, that's probably even not strong enough, almost just a devaluing of self look. So, yeah, that's a good distinction to make, where there's kind of this happy medium where we can have good confidence, a humble confidence, we can say, to combine these two. And we don't want to be arrogant on the one side, don't want to be devaluing ourselves on the other.
Well, and I like that that bringing those two together, because that goes to what some of the stuff we've talked about a lot in the past, where we'll tend to lean towards one value or one way of doing things so much that we lose the other side. Or, risk falling into the ditch of either side, right? And I think, again, being like, yeah, no, we can be, confident that God's got this and that God's going to use us well and use our plans well. But we also, it's important to be like, no, I do have value in this. I can contribute to this.
Right.
Through God, of course. But I really appreciated you bringing those together.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, too, to think about the big picture we brought at the end with God has a plan and he's working that. We trust in his plan. That plays in here. It keeps me from being arrogant when I realize God's got this plan. And that's part of if the Lord wills it, to see his plan's the plan.
Yeah.
And it's not just mine. I'm trying to match up, but also to see, hey, God has a plan for me, for you, for anyone listening, right? He's got a plan and he wants us to be who we are. He made us for a purpose. And to see that calling, to see that, that's an uplifter. So I don't say, well, what does it matter? I'm not like that person over there. Well, God has a plan for us. So seeing that and trusting God's plan, I think can keep us in that healthy right ground matter we're supposed to be in. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really good. So then we said later again that whole planning is God-centered and kingdom-oriented, which fairly self-explanatory. But then, again, like all these things, when it comes to the real world and how we do this practically, sometimes that can get a little confusing. So how do we tell the difference between the kingdom of God, big picture like we were kind of talking about, God's plan and all that, and the success or popularity of Christianity in our world's culture? Is there a difference? Is it like, well, if Christianity is doing good in our culture, then the kingdom of God's going to be thriving here? Or how do we balance that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a unique thing in our culture, and there's maybe a few others like it where that can be a thing. But Austin said, we see, you can call it almost a commercial success of Christianity in so many ways. And I think in our culture, we love seeing, of course, other Christians and seeing them publicly pronounce their faith, seeing them in sports, seeing them in musical ventures, artistic ventures. And so we tend to celebrate that and get behind it, of course. And there's a lot of good things with that. But then it can overlap, because it is overlapping. It can sometimes be hard to see is that value actually the kingdom value, or is it just some of the maybe cultural values coming in, this is a good way to make money kind of thing, right? And so we do need to examine that and be careful about it. And probably what helps is just always keeping clear and to keep reviewing ourselves, what is the values of God's kingdom, what the character. We pointed back a little bit to chapter 3 there, the end, when Pastor Eric was preaching about godly wisdom and the character there about being peace-loving and considerate and submissive and all these things, merciful. So how are those elements showing up, right? And I think, sometimes they are, and other times we might say, oh, the nature of this ministry or the way this person's going about things, it seems to be bringing in more of the worldly values or culture. And that's always the hard part. I was just reading some Old Testament. I've been in the Book of Kings for some of my own devotional time. And when Israel gets taken over by Assyria, right, and gets deported and taken into exile, one of the things named there, it's like, oh, they worship the Lord their God, and also these other things. And it hit home for me, that's the danger. And this is an established church at that point. And that's like, oh, you know, they're not saying like, no, we're done with God. No, but God, and we like a little bit of this value here,
that
right?
That is so interesting.
So that's a bit of the danger, I think, for us in our context. And maybe, of course, you go in other places in the world, and there's not this Christian culture that's maybe celebrated in some ways or has sometimes some sort of commercial success. So maybe different challenges.
Sure, yeah.
But that's for us when it's like, well, we uphold that culture, and we actually like to see the success, of course, in a variety of ways. So just examining and saying, like, what is the motivation? Are these things pointed in a kingdom direction? Is my celebration of it a celebration of cultural things? Like, oh, when that's good for my pocketbook, say, or my comfort as well, versus is this kingdom directed and oriented? So, yeah, I think that's what you had in mind in asking that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I just really appreciated you actually bringing us back to that Kings example, because I think that is very convicting and a little scary to be like, oh, yeah, no, they were worshiping God, and they were also, and we sometimes think, no, I'm a Christian. I go to church every day. I go to church twice a day or twice a Sunday.
Right, right.
You know, like I'm really involved in this stuff, and then we might also have these other things that we are also worshiping as well. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, the danger of idolatry, we just got to always beware of
constantly.
That.
Yeah. So as I was preparing for this, reading through, you know, I opened my Bible, pulled up to James, and I was like, this is James 4.
Yeah.
And James only has 5 chapters, which makes me very sad.
Yeah.
I would, man, obviously, like, glad that the Bible was written by different authors. I would love to read the whole Bible written by James, because I love the way he writes.
Yeah.
But we're not yet to a close, but coming up to a close. Mm-hmm. So I guess, what do we have this upcoming week, and then what do we look like as we get closer towards Advent?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have 3 weeks, 3 Sunday mornings left in James, Lord willing, and coming into chapter 5, so we'll kind of break that up into
like
3.
Your Lord willing.
Yes, we need to say that as we came into James. Got to be careful
with
my plans.
Especially with the plans.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right, so, James chapter 5, 1 to 6 is what we'll take up next. And like we said, this passage is kind of similar to the one that just we talked about this past week. It's kind of, maybe you could call it another oracle, kind of rhetorical. And this one is very much in the face of these maybe wealthy landowners. And maybe from that, a lot of people say, most that I've read say, well, this isn't directed toward Christians necessarily. It's a word to those who maybe are oppressing some of these Christians and taking their land. So there's a word of encouragement. Again, like there's going to be this reversal in the kingdom. But also, you know, we live in a wealthy culture. We have affluence here and in our church, but just in general. And there is the thought of, well, how do we relate to our wealth? And again, of, yeah, what are we supposed to be directing that towards if we have those resources? What are some warnings about doing that? How is James bringing that out here? But it is a very, you know, direct passage. And he's just, again, in a prophetic way in this case, I think, bringing out what we see elsewhere in Scripture, that there's a real danger when it comes to Judgment Day as you're living and oppressing others with your wealth and doing whatever you can to get it. So that's James 5, 1 to 6. And then we'll get to more, there'll be some more things with trials, some more things with prayer as we get to the last couple of sections. James doesn't as neatly break up as maybe one of Paul's letters. So he kind of keeps weaving back in these topics he's brought up along the way. But yeah, great wisdom. So, yes, that will take us right up to Thanksgiving, week before, and then Advent season comes right on the heels of that.
Wow.
So that November 30th is the first Sunday in Advent, and we are talking and planning, of course, for that. And
we'll tell you all the details of what we're talking about later.
We'll save that. All right, I'll save it.
But, yeah, well, Dan, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming in, joining, sharing your thoughts. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thank you for your grace as we navigate my forgetfulness and errors on that tech part. We will see you all next time. We do have a very special episode coming up. Again, I won't spoil that one until it comes up, but we've got some fun stuff coming up, so we're looking forward to spending more time with you all. Go in peace, to love, and serve the Lord, and we will see you all next time.